The portion of God's word that we'll focus on this morning comes from Acts chapter 2. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's Thanksgiving Day, and you can't wait to celebrate it with your family. And when you arrive at the house where all of the family is gathered, you push through the open front door, expecting to be warmly welcomed by all your family members. But as you enter the house, instead a few people glance at you with sort of a half-hearted smile, but the rest don't even really seem to notice that you've arrived. And so you sit down on the couch next to a family member, hoping to catch up a little bit, but when you do, he sort of slides further away. And he buries his nose in a book that he hadn't been reading until you got there. And then as the meal is being served and everyone's gathered around the table, no one asks how you've been. No one asks how your job has been going. Everyone just ignores you. And then everyone stands up after the meal is over and they all shift over into the living room to chat and sort of form that little family talk circle. But as they do so and make the circle, they sort of subtly push you outside of it, leaving you standing there all alone by yourself. How would you feel? Hurt? Angry? Confused, wondering what exactly is wrong with you or what you did wrong? You'd probably leave, right? And wonder whether you should ever come back again, because these people are supposed to treat you like family because they are your family, and yet instead they've been treating you like a total stranger. Now, I hope that's never happened to you at a family gathering. I hope it doesn't happen to you in a couple months at Thanksgiving. But maybe putting ourselves in those shoes helps us to have a better understanding of what it would be like to be a part of a church family, but to feel completely disconnected from it. To arrive and walk through the atrium and sit down in the pews, and then after the service is over to go back out into the atrium, and no one says a word to you, except for the usher who gives you a courtesy hello like they do to everyone else. How would it make you feel? And maybe you're wondering or thinking, well, Pastor, no, those are completely different things. But are they? I mean, I hope you've seen this phrase before, right? A family growing in Christ. It's everywhere, right? It's all over everything that Mount Olive produces. It's right front and center on our worship folders every single weekend. A family growing in Christ. And yet, it's not intended to just be some sort of a cute cliche or a catchy slogan. It's intended to be the very heart and core, the culture of Mount Olive Lutheran Church and School. And so that's why we're devoting this weekend and the entire month of September to an initiative that we're calling Mount Olive Connected. The premise is pretty simple. We're just simply looking to help encourage and equip the members of Mount Olive so that we can connect with each other on a deeper level than maybe we have before. We want to help our family growing in Christ to look at each other and treat each other not as strangers, not as mere acquaintances, but as a family. So maybe the million-dollar question is this: why? Why should we? I mean, isn't the world growing more and more disconnected from other people these days? You can go and get groceries without ever having to leave your car. And everything else that you need, you don't have to venture any further than your front door where you pick up your Amazon packages. And you can very easily go in the side door at church and sit by yourself in the pew and sneak back out before the service is over without having to interact with another human being the whole time. I mean, You could even watch the sermon online later at home and never have to leave your couch. But as convenient and easy and solitary as those things might be, are they really what's good for us? In a world that's growing increasingly more and more disconnected from each other, I think it's growing more and more increasingly important that church members stay connected to each other. Because being a part of a family growing in Christ is vitally important for your spiritual health. And I want to help you see why today. In many ways, that early Christian church that we met in Acts chapter 2, it's the picture of a spiritually healthy family. And although the entirety of the Christian church at that point, about 3,100 people, is almost twice as large as our Mount Olive family here, I want you to note the beautiful ways, and three specific ways, that these Christians showed familial love to each other. First, they gathered together as a family for public worship, just like we're doing right now. We're told they devoted themselves. That Greek word there for devoting themselves, it literally means to cling tightly to something and refuse to let it go. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. These Christians, they gathered together so that they could hear the apostles teach them what Jesus had taught them. And they gathered together so that they could feast on the Lord's Supper, which Jesus had instituted for them. And they gathered together so that they could pray as a body of believers together in public, just as Jesus had taught them. And this public worship that they prioritized, it was such a priority, in fact, that we're told that every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Every day. And tell me, who else do you spend time with every single day besides your family? Second, they showed a kind of familial love to each other by showing a sacrificial kind of servant love to their fellow church members. We're told all the believers had everything, or were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Can you even imagine that? Willingly giving away the things that you own to another church member without asking for anything in return. Having a nice little piece of property somewhere and you sell it, not so that you can pocket the money from the sales, but so that that money can then go into a general fund that it gets distributed to all the people in the congregation who are truly in need. See, the crazy thing about it is you don't benefit from doing that. Only the other people benefit. The only benefit you would derive from that is simply helping another person. Sounds like something that someone would only do for their family. And third, these Christians didn't just join together for worship. We might say that they did life together. Yes, they were devoted to daily spending time together in the temple in public worship, but we're also told that they were daily devoted to breaking bread in their homes and eating together with glad and sincere hearts. And you can imagine the kind of loving connections that would have grown among these Christians as they gathered around each other's kitchen tables. The connections that would grow deeper and deeper every time as they took the opportunities to learn about each other and their stories, to find out each other's hopes and their dreams, their fears and their challenges, so that they could support each other in everything. They gathered together around the kitchen table, spending time together like a family. It sounds like a pretty beautiful church to belong to, doesn't it? You can imagine the kind of love and care and concern that those people had for each other. But I show you these Christians this morning not to give you church envy. Not to go, boy, I wish Mount Olive was more like that. No, I show you these Christians because I think there's some very amazing examples that we can take away from how those Christians were living and interacting with each other. some things that we can put into practice that will better help us to be a family growing in Christ. First, it is of vital importance that we spend time in public worship together. There's a reason that these Christians prioritize first and foremost every single day worshiping together. It's because there's no better way for people to grow closer to each other and more deeply connected than growing closer to Christ and growing stronger in their faith together as a body of believers. You see, in a world that is growing increasingly disconnected from each other and from God, the opportunity that we have to gather together in these pews and pray and praise together and hear the word of God being explained together, that is an incredibly encouraging and uplifting thing. That although the world seems to be going further and further from God, you can still sit in these pews with hundreds of other people who share the same faith as you. But on top of being together for worship, we also need to devote some time to being together outside of worship too. Yes, these Christians, they clung tightly to public worship every single day, but they also clung tightly to daily spending time in each other's homes, eating together, right? Food is the great connector. They were devoted to that. Why? Because as they worshiped together, their faith and their love for God continued to grow. And as that was happening, so did the unity of faith that they shared and the love that they had for their fellow believers. And then as they spent time together in each other's homes, outside of worship, their bond, their connection, their love for each other just continued to grow deeper and deeper. And the more deeply that they grew connected to each other, the more that they started to look at each other and think of each other as family. And really, that's the whole reason for this connected initiative. Because the more closely connected that we can be as a family of believers, the more spiritually healthy our congregation can be. The writer to the Hebrews encourages Christians, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing." And he encourages Christians to meet together, to gather together as much as possible for one reason. He says, "Let us encourage one another." Encourage each other. You see, when you grow so closely connected to the other people that are members of your church, and you start to see them as family, then you can be encouraged that much more to be here in God's house for worship, in the same way that you're encouraged to head to grandma's house for Thanksgiving dinner, because you know that you're going to be fed. And because you know that the people that you love the most, your family, your friends, they're going to be there too to love you and encourage you and support you. Because where would you rather have a feast? At a table where you're surrounded by your family and friends who love you the most? Or at a table full of strangers where hardly anyone acknowledges you? See, God gives us a church family to encourage us and for us to encourage. But if I never take the time to get to know that guy who sits a couple rows ahead of me every single week, then I'll never have the opportunity to encourage him and support him with God's word and my prayers when he finds out that he has cancer. And if you never grow deeper in your connection to that lady that you pass out by the mailboxes every week with a "Hi, how are you?" then she'll never have the opportunity to encourage and support you with God's word when your marriage is stumbling. And if the adults and the teenagers never have the opportunity to interact with each other, then important mentoring relationships can never be built. And those two age groups never have the opportunity to encourage each other and to help see each other's perspectives and challenges in life. And on top of that, I don't always see my sin. And I don't always call myself back to repentance when I've been straying. And I don't always do a very good job of reminding myself of God's promises. And that's why I need to be connected to other people. That's why God gives us a church family and why it's so important that our church be a family. Now, I know the excuses that we make, because I make them too. Excuses like, well, what if it's awkward? What do I say, right? What if we have nothing in common? Or there's just so many people at Mount Olive, and there's four services to keep track of. There's no way we can get to know everybody, so why even bother? Well, you know, I don't want to offend anyone. I don't want to make anyone feel sad because I don't know their name, or I've met them 1,000 times, but I never can remember what their name is. Or you know what, I already have family and friends that I feel comfortable with at Mount Olive. So why should I make myself feel uncomfortable by trying to get to know some new people? But can we do ourselves a great service today? Myself included. Can we do ourselves a great service today by taking that barrier of awkwardness that prevents us from connecting deeper with each other? That barrier of awkwardness that prevents us from meeting new people, and smash it with a hammer? Can we take those excuses of there are just too many and stop letting Satan use them to prevent us from meeting any? Can we strive to show each other sacrificial servant love that doesn't just focus on how it feels for me, but also focuses on what those other people need as well? That lady who's new to this family of believers and is having a really hard time connecting with anyone. That family that comes week after week after week, but every week that they come, they feel like they're the ones getting snubbed at the Thanksgiving table. So can we think of other people too? Can we build a culture and an attitude at Mount Olive that says, you know what, I don't really care if it feels a little bit awkward. I don't really care if it's challenging at first. Because the one thing that we're concerned about over everything else is our own spiritual health and the spiritual health of the members of our family growing in Christ. A couple months ago, I challenged the members of our evangelism committee. We came up with this initiative, and I thought we should test it out first, right? And so I challenged the members of our board to find 2 new people to meet every weekend in church. It's kind of an auspicious goal. 2 new people every single weekend that they were in church. And one of the guys came back and reported that that first week, after a Saturday night worship service, he had met a lady that he had never met before. And he introduced himself, and he talked to her for 20 minutes, he and his wife. Made a nice connection. And then that same week on Wednesday, they saw her sitting alone at a soup supper. And they sat with her and ate together and had further conversation. And he acknowledged at our meeting that if he hadn't introduced himself to her at that Saturday night service, he probably never would have even noticed her sitting by herself at soup supper. And here's the thing to keep in mind. I don't think that we do this maliciously. We don't do it because we don't like other people. But we need to be aware that we do this, right? And then on top of that, after making that deeper connection with that lady introduced him to one of her good friends. And they got to know each other too. And you see how that family radius continues to grow and grow and grow. Can you picture it? How amazingly quick the loving relationships of family could spread through this congregation if each of us devoted just one time, one person every weekend that we wanted to connect with for the first time or on a deeper level. And then new friends get introduced to old friends who become new friends. And the family radius spreads like wildfire. It'd be beautiful, wouldn't it? As week by week, the connections grew deeper and wider. And that's why we want to challenge you this month. We want to challenge you to grow deeply connected with your fellow members. And one way we're going to go about doing that is with this challenge. This entire month of September in the atrium, on a pedestal, there's going to be a white binder. And inside of that binder is every family's name in Mount Olive congregation. Challenge is, every time that you have a deeper connecting conversation with someone in that family, take the highlighter that's with that binder and highlight their name. And the challenge is, every time you have those conversations, whether it's in church or outside of church, and you highlight those names, let's see if as a congregation, we can connect with every single family in this church. An entire binder full of yellow highlights. I think we can do it. I hope we can do it. Because when family members become disconnected, they leave. But if members stay connected and start to view each other like family, well, then they stay for life. And so we want to be a family. But more importantly, we want to be a family growing in Christ. Because think of it, when we looked at those Christians, what was it that motivated them to love each other like family? It wasn't an initiative. It wasn't a binder full of highlighted names. It was Jesus. Because Jesus had so deeply touched their lives and their souls and their eternity that the only desire that they had was to show their love back to Jesus. And to show their love for Jesus by showing love to those around them who also love Jesus. And so let's not make this a one-weekend push, not even just a one-month initiative. Let's make this our gospel-driven culture at Mount Olive, to love each other like family. And don't do it because pastor told you to. Don't do it because a challenge has been laid and we have to meet the challenge. Now, do it because these people that are sitting around you right now and the people that sit in these pews on Saturday and Monday night, those people are your family. And a family needs each other. So let's show the kind of love to each other that we need to love each other like a family, and every day to grow deeper and better as a family growing in Christ. Amen. Please stand.